Welcome to Phenomenal Woman. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland. Join me as we share the success strategies of phenomenal women achieving extraordinary success around the globe. From the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, this is Real Talk by Real Women. We share with you the highs and lows of their journey and give you honest insight on how you can navigate same with confidence, integrity, and gain a little inspiration. As a leadership strategist, executive coach, and business consultant, I have the pleasure of working with organizations and individuals, helping them to turn their goals into success. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Phenomenal Woman. My guest this week is Laura Gaines. Laura is a former international fashion model, actress turned toy inventor and women's wellness advocate. She runs a successful invention business with her partner and created Soul Dance Experience. It's a holistic women's fitness group that currently runs in several cities and growing. So welcome to this week's edition of Phenomenal Woman, Laura. How are you?
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm good.
You're welcome. I did a very short introduction, obviously, so it's a very short introduction about you and who you are. Can you give us a bit more information to the audience about your background and who you are?
Yeah. I've lived a lot of different lives, I guess you could say. So I am from Atlanta, Georgia. Was a journalism major, but I guess since I've been 5'10", since I was like 11 years old, I was scouted by a model scout in a mall, actually, and spent the next like 20 years in Milan and Paris and Germany, and just going back and forth to New York and Los Angeles as a model.
Wow.
But I always wanted to be an actress, so I shifted my focus once I had finished traveling a bit, because I love that travel. And settled in Los Angeles, became bicoastal in New York, and did a lot of film and television.
Okay.
When I got into my 40s, I had been really lucky and really enjoyed that career, but I realized the reality of turning 40 in Hollywood. It's not a joke.
Right. Yes.
So I decided that I was going to take a big leap and do something else that I was going to be more in control of.
Right.
I met a beautiful creative partner at around the same time, and we decided to, who was also an actor, and we decided to take a risk and take off, sell everything, and our mission was to do whatever we felt like doing when we woke up in the morning.
Fabulous.
So, yeah, it was scary. People told us we were crazy. And wouldn't you know it, cut to 8 years later,
yeah,
we have a really successful toy invention company. And now I'm focusing on what my passion is,
yes,
which is helping women through dancing and writing.
Excellent. So let me see. You've had very many reinventions or reincarnations. And I think you're right. It's not so much a, I don't want to say midlife crisis, because that's not what it is. It's not what it is, because I have experienced very, very similar. But I think it's probably for some women, you know, where maybe their children have got a bit older, or they've been successful in a particular career they've done when they've particularly started. So there is time for a change. So when you go through those changes, what are the kind of emotions or challenges you face?
Yeah, that's when all the fear rears its head, isn't it?
Yeah.
That, immediately you think, well, I can't do, I'm not qualified to do anything else.
Yes.
How could I possibly think that I could, change careers right now? I'm not an expert in anything. I studied journalism, so how could I possibly do that, at that time? I think it was just super, super important to get in touch with the core me. I just had,
yes,
to quiet all of that and just really get in touch. Every morning when I woke up, and I still do this, I just sort of took an inventory of, how was I feeling? What was all that noise that was in my way? What did I need to pay attention to? And what do I really want? I took a lot of time. I journaled a lot, what was really important to me. And I knew you get to a point with that that your fears are no longer, you know, what you're losing is scarier,
yes,
actually, than what it's going to take to get to where you want to be.
Yeah. So throughout that whole kind of journey, what keeps you motivated?
Just really learning what was going to work for me, yeah, what was going to make me happy, yeah, and knowing that was being selfish, yeah, at that point,
yeah,
like putting myself first and saying, you know, it's okay,
yeah,
to do what I need to do to be happy.
Yeah. So how difficult is that? Because again, as women, we're not very comfortable putting ourselves first. There's, yeah, always something, someone, or somehow something is always more important than us, you know. Mm. And I hear a lot of women say, well, I can't do that because XYZ needs to happen. So how easy was it to put yourself first?
You know, it wasn't until it was, if that, right, makes sense. I spent a lot of time in a relationship that wasn't good for me. So I had probably 8 years of a relationship where I wasn't putting myself first.
Yes.
I wasn't putting what I wanted first. I was doing everything for somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so for 7-8 years, it was really hard.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden I thought, I can't do this anymore. I have to make choices for myself, or I'm just gonna disappear. I felt my energy. I felt, you know, I was getting sick. I was getting stressed out. I was not a happy person. And I thought, this can't be it. This can't be. So once I made the decision to do it,
yes,
it was easy because there was so much freedom, you know, and it all of a sudden didn't matter. Well, most of the time. I'm a people pleaser, so I still do have that little bit of like, oh, what are they going to think? Or, oh, no, you know. But once I decided to make the change and to do what I needed to do,
yeah,
it became easy.
Right.
It really did.
Right. And the body's a great barometer of telling us the things we're trying to ignore. Because we become very adept at ignoring what the... It's not so much the obvious, because if it was obvious, we would have probably addressed it. But our body becomes very adept. I know certainly for me, when I was in, yes, I've had bad relationships, but more recently it was my job, you know, where I was absolutely miserable, the weight. I was horrible to those around me. I was a different person. And the thing was the job. And the minute I made that decision that, look, I can't do this long term, it's like it was a great release, you know, off the sheer shot, off my shoulders, off my head, and what I could do. So I can totally empathize with just thinking, wow, just, you know, I can just breathe, you know.
Absolutely.
Go and focus on what we want, what you want to do.
So what is it? There's a great quote. I'm sorry. Where it's something about once you decide what you want and you tell the universe what you want.
Yes.
Conspires to make sure you get it, and
yeah,
it really
happened, yeah, that way. Yeah. And everything you look at, well, all of a sudden it's like, wow, it's all the stars are aligned, that's all happened. Now you just opened up, it's like, okay, so that opportunity happened, and that opportunity, you know, passed me by, you know, I didn't see it. So it is about being open to opportunities. And one of the things I've talked to women about is the fact we're always told to be ready for success, but actually, what we should be ready for is opportunity.
Mm.
You know, because it's the opportunity becomes before success. And we have to be receptive to maybe do something we haven't done before, do something that makes us feel uncomfortable. So get comfortable being uncomfortable to get the best out of ourselves.
Absolutely. I think success is a very tricky word.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to define success for yourself
is a very
important thing, so that everybody else's ways to success or ideas of success, you know, don't influence what it is that you want to do.
Very much, you know? Very much, very much. So Laura, throughout your journey and the all the changes you've been through, has there been a time where you've confronted a challenge and things just didn't go well? you know, and it really does knock your confidence. How do you rebound from that?
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, it happens if you want to, you know, pick apart. I mean, it happens almost every day. But I have learned to embrace the challenge.
Okay.
You know, I've learned to, what do they say, fail up instead
yes.
of...
Yes, fail forward.
Yes, fail forward, yes. When I was an actress, I would go, you know, the name of the game is auditions, and I would audition sometimes 4 or 5 times a week.
Did
I stink up the room a lot of time, you know, I mean, and I would come home and I would beat myself up so hard. I would just like nick myself with, you know, psychologically with razor blades of just, oh, you're so stupid. How could you do it? You're no good. And, you know, that little voice in there was really strong. And I found myself, as I got out of acting, I found that little voice came with me.
Right.
You know, started inventing, we started creating things, or I started doing, also called to do some writing, and oh, that's just terrible. And, oh, you know, or somebody would say, well, I didn't connect to it, or, and every one of those felt like a failure to me. And I just thought, you know, you just really have to reframe it in your head. You really just have to work very hard to realize that it's not failing at all.
Right.
That it's putting in, or that failing can be a gift, right? Just put it out there and just learn from what comes back or not and just keep going.
Right. Because, you know, as you said about the auditions, it just dawned on me that it's got to be one of the, from a, I suppose, confidence perspective, it's got to be one of the most, I think, arduous processes, because you're constantly interviewing. So when you go for a standard 9-to-5, you go for the interview, it's one interview, they like you or not. But acting, your whole job is interviewing, literally, constantly. And it's very subjective, because what one person likes on you in the one interview, it can be very different to the next interview walking maybe an hour later.
Absolutely.
So that has got to be really tough.
And then what'll happen is I'll think that I had the worst meeting in my entire life. And I'll already be home beating myself up. And, oh my gosh, you're so terrible. In the front of me, like, hey, you got it. Wait, what? Yeah, you got the job. So I'm like, so who am I to judge if my work is bad or good? You know, and it carries on into the writing and into the inventing. You know, you just put it out there.
Yeah.
And you can't judge whether somebody's going to love it or hate it. They may tell you they hate it and they love it. I mean, who knows why, right?
Right.
So I guess getting unattached to that feedback is a really important.
It's got to be tough. It's got to be tough. The more I think about it, it's got to be tough. So Laurie, if you could go back and change one thing, what would it be and why?
Well, that's funny. I love my life so much now.
Yeah.
I think if you would have asked me that 8 years ago, I would have said, oh, okay, how long do you have? I would have done this, you know. But now that I'm in such an amazing place in my life, I realize that everything, every choice that I made, every moment, that all led me up to here.
Yes.
Maybe that's, you know, what happens as you get older, is you realize, like, wow, you know, it was colorful and there were some horrible times and there's some amazing times. And now I'm just really happy.
Yeah.
So I don't think I would change anything.
Excellent. And you talked about as you got older, obviously, I think you're a little more accepting of things as you get older.
Yes.
Or you, for me, it's definitely about less about compromising. It's either yes or no. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to compromise or please people than myself. So if you could have a conversation with your teenage self, what would you tell her now?
Oh, I would, you know, tell her not to compromise so much.
Yeah.
Not to, you know, dim the light so that other people don't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, take that power, lead, teach. Yeah. I was a really tall, gawky teenager sitting in a corner, afraid to say anything.
Wow.
And I wish that I would have found, you know, I had a lot to say.
Yes. Okay. So, Laura, share with us a success quote or a mantra that you use and why it's meaningful for you.
I have written on my desk mission over ego.
Okay.
I think for me, especially coming from a place that was all about how I looked.
Yes.
And all about, you know, what this is right here. Inevitably, that's just massive ego.
Yeah.
And I just mean ego in the way of, you know, worrying about the wrong things. So when I get stressed out or things get kind of blown out of proportion for me, especially with the work that I'm doing with Soul Dance Experience now, I just focus back on the mission, and it every time snaps me back in to reminding me why I'm doing it,
right.
How to do it, how to jump over the obstacles. It's all about mission.
Yeah. And I quite like the thing you talked about, you being the gawky tall girl in the corner. So how much, you know, I suppose back then, or even while you're acting, how much of your confidence was enmeshed or entwined with how you looked? Because you were very much in that industry. It's very visual, you know. Mm-hmm. And for me beauty is very much skin deep, but it takes a long time for that, you know, for people to accept that. And we're not a society that, you know, they say ugly girls would say that, you know. So how much of your confidence was kind of enmeshed in that?
99.9% probably for a long time.
Yeah.
It was my identity.
Yeah.
You know, it's no coincidence that the women's group that I run now is in complete darkness. We dance in complete darkness. So it is it's everything. You leave all judgment at the door. You leave inhibitions at the door. Everybody, when the lights turn out, everybody is the same.
Right.
We're all women trying to be free, trying to express ourselves. I constantly do that. I think that because my career was so based on looks.
Yeah.
And you know, aging's a funny thing, especially when you are this is everything.
Yeah.
So I'm a real proponent in that's also a strong mission internally.
Yeah.
That helps all of that. Because you know that beauty shines on out. You know. Yeah.
So you talked about, and the audience may be a bit curious now, because you talked about dancing in the dark.
Yeah.
So tell us about is it Soul Dance Experience? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, that's my passion.
Your baby.
Yeah, my baby. So I went to a rave in New Zealand a couple years ago, and it was horrifying because it was a bunch of people slammed into a room, and it was pitch dark. It was really loud music, and it was really kind of scary and horrifying. But when I got out of it, I realized that there's something had happened where, you know, just dancing and nobody could see me, but I was still in a group and the music was loud. And, you know, how often do we get to do this for an hour anymore, you know, without worrying about somebody else near you or, you know, having to go to a club or, and I've done a lot of, actually, I did, as I was in my acting career, I also coached a lot of artists how to get unstuck.
Right.
Because, you know, a lot of artists, writer's block you know, a lot of fear, and all of a sudden you get paralyzed. And I always found 100% of the time it was to connect to your body. And if you can connect to your body and move through your body, you can unstick everything. And I thought, I've got to create a platform where women can just come and dance and scream and shout and laugh and cry or whatever they need to do for an hour. And so I popped one up here. I'm in Birmingham, Alabama right now. And I popped one up, and it's women just loved it. I mean, it was just went crazy. So, did I lose you? So we've been running it ever since. We run it once a week here. I also run it in New Zealand, and it's about to go into two or three other cities.
Wow.
It's a liberating, exhilarating, and you know, you might, you know, get in better shape, physical shape, but I think that exercise in America is way too toxic. Weight loss, you know, it's just way too tied to that. We always say, you know, losing weight, anything like that, is a side effect, you know. it's fun. It's really fun.
Excellent. And what have been your learnings from doing that? Because it's such a unique experience.
It is. That women want to, we need to put ourselves first. Right. We need to find ways to express ourselves. You know, we have so many women come, and when the lights come back on, they're just like, oh my gosh, I haven't done that in such a long time. I haven't moved like that. Or, you know, just to punch in the dark when nobody's watching, all of a sudden you're crying and you're like, why am I crying? It's because we hold so much in our muscles. Yeah. We hold so much in our bodies. And if we're not working to let it out in some way, then that's when we get sick and that's when we get depressed.
Yeah.
And, but as the one who runs it, I'm also learning that it's very difficult to get women to come out for themselves.
Right. Why do you think that is?
They feel, well, I hear it a lot from them. They feel guilty that they're leaving their family at home for one night. They feel like they shouldn't go out to have fun. They feel like that's not the most important thing that they could be doing on a Monday, you know. Also, I find that women feel like if it's fun, then it's probably not, like, good for them, you know. Right. Like, it's not serious enough.
Yeah. That's amazing, because I'm a very big supporter of what I call me time, you know, because I tell the women, you know, you were individuals. You were born an individual. You know, before you had the labels of mom, wife, daughter, sister, boss, employee, you're individuals. And it's really, it's important to reconnect to that. And even if it's just like 15, 20 minutes in the morning to yourself, just doing something, get up a bit earlier, just to give yourself space just to reconnect with you. It's incredibly important. And they underestimate, you know, how important it is. And I'll say it again, I said the last episode, self-care is not selfish, it's self-preservation. You know, I used to tell my boys, you know, if I didn't do what I did, one of us would be dead and it wouldn't be me, you know.
I love it.
So I really had to have that, just give me that time, just give me that space. And I even have that in my relationship, in my marriage. I have that space. And at first, for my husband, it was very difficult. He's like, well, you don't want to be with me. I said, it's not about not wanting to be with you. It's about wanting to be with me just for a short amount of time.
That's right.
And so, you know, it doesn't mean I love you any less or anything like that. It's just that I want a little bit of time where I don't have to think about anybody but me.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, so ladies.
Yeah.
Take some meat.
It's strong mind, strong body. And strong body, strong mind. Yes. I mean, you can't have one without the other, I feel like. And I don't mean, you know, whatever the strong body means to you, you know, you're just feeling good in your skin. Even if you can't walk or you can't, you know, you're feeling good in your body. It's so important.
Definitely. Well, Laura, you've had a very eclectic career.
Yes.
So if you could choose your own mentor, anybody, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Well, that's a really hard question for me. But I'll tell you, because I feel like now is the time that I'm going to start writing. I've done some writing, but now's the time that I'm going to really put the thoughts down to the paper. And, you know, there's an author, Anne Lamott. Do you know Anne Lamott? She wrote an amazing book called Traveling Mercies. she is an incredibly brilliant, strong woman writer. And I think if I could sit down with somebody and talk to somebody right now, you know, to like you are with me, to ask her the questions of marrying this beautiful spiritual point of view that she has with her writing. Because I think it's really important now to bring this sort of, you know, modern, relevant, spiritual thoughts into our, continue to bring it into our world, you know, is really important. So
excellent. So what are the three things you've learned about yourself during your career, Laura?
The three things I've learned about myself? Sorry, you broke up a little bit.
During your career. What are the three things you learned about yourself during your career?
Three things I learned about myself. I'm stronger than I often think I am.
Yeah.
I'm smarter than I often think I am. And I still am a people pleaser.
Right.
And that's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. Yeah. I constantly need to check myself and say, wait a minute, is this okay? Can I be stronger in this? But that's all right. We're doing good.
Well, that's good. I mean, the fact is, I mean, a lot of us go through life not realizing we are people pleasing. So, but sometimes there are times we have to do it. And if you're making sure you've got the balance, then that's the right thing. That's the right thing for you. So what would you say then, Laura, are your imperfections and how do you embrace them?
Oh, well, that's pretty much that. Yeah, that's one for sure. I'm also a bit of an introvert. Okay. So I think at times when I could really be getting out there and connecting, which I love, I love talking to you. I love sitting here and hearing other people's ideas and thoughts. And but I tend to find reasons maybe not to do that.
Right.
I think it's so important to connect with women. And actually, one of the reasons why I started Soul Dance Experience is so it would get me out.
Right.
And, you know, I think people, when they see me out, they just sort of assume that I'm like, you know, always confident and really, a connector. And I'm actually not. So, to embrace that, to understand it, and to not allow myself to avoid things that I know would be good, you know, good to show up.
Fabulous. And we talked earlier off camera about the amount of traveling you're doing and, you're inventing, you're doing Soul Dance Experience, you know, you're very busy with all the travel. So what are your key piece of advice for maintaining some semblance of a work-life balance? You know, something, making sure you don't neglect those around you or it will burn out.
Right. Yeah, that's really important. I think the inventory that I do every morning has really saved me. So before I even get out of bed, I just, just say, oh, hey there, how you doing today?
Yeah.
I check in and I see where my body's at. I see where my mind's at. I see where my spirit's at, my mood, my state. And I see what needs the most help that day. And I sort of plan my day around that. So I think it's really important for us to understand that, you know, any given day, one of those things is going to be off.
Yes.
You know? Absolutely. So I think if you can pay attention to that and understand maybe the day, you know, maybe when you have to get to work, you're a little bit gentler on your spirit in the, you know, in what you have to do that day, if you can be, or you know, make sure you eat really well.
Right.
And also really logically for me, because I work at home, and I travel all the time, so wherever I am, I always have a workspace.
Right.
So that is the space that I work in, and I can shut the door, or I can, you know, fold it up.
Yeah.
And put it behind me so that I can do other things in that space. It's really important.
Because it's very easy. I too work from home, so it's very easy for the two, as you say, to kind of morph on. And all of a sudden you're doing 12, 14-hour days because you weren't able to make that break, and it just followed you because you're in the same space. So totally agree with you on that.
No phones in the bedroom, no computer in the bedroom.
I've gone that far yet, but...
It's important.
Yeah. Now there's times when because my family's in the UK and I'm in Antigua, the time difference, and you'll have someone give me a phone call, and my sister last week, for instance, said, you know, I'm sorry, it's so early. I'm like, it's 3 o'clock in the, it's early for you, it's 7 o'clock, but it's 3 o'clock in the morning for me, you know? So, but then I could not have the phone because I knew family might call. So, but I understand where you're coming from with that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'd work all the time
So Laura, we touched on success, and we were talking about how you know, just early on in our conversation about how it's different for everybody, which I totally agree. So, but what's your definition of success?
Yeah, I really struggled with that, I think, because, you know, as an actor, it was always, you know, a resume and what was ever on that, you know, what was on that resume or what part you could get. And I never felt successful, no matter what show I was on, no matter what, you know, and I had a great career. So after that, I thought, you know, I've got to figure out a way that I can feel successful, because the bar would just keep moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
I finally found a definition of success, which was, I should have written it down. It is as long as I am working towards achieving my potential every day,
right,
then I can call myself successful. Excellent. And that feels really good to me.
Yeah.
Because nobody else can say what success is, you know. Doesn't matter how much money, money is great, you know, accolades are great, awards are great, but still, to feel successful, I have to be working towards my potential.
And do you think that definition for you has changed as you've matured?
Absolutely. Yes, no doubt about it. And it's changed since I can look back now and see that I was successful as an actor, you know?
I mean,
for some reason, I didn't feel it when I was there. I was always like, you know, oh, she got that part, and I need to get that part. And now I look back and I go, well, my God, I had a great career. So now I don't want to waste that time not feeling successful anymore.
Fabulous.
It's a great feeling.
Yes, I agree. But it's very difficult for us sometimes to see that in ourselves. I know certainly for me, sometimes I struggle to see what other people see in me, you know, and say, oh, you're this, you're that. I'm like, well, how are you seeing that? Because I'm just doing what I need to do to get by. But you're kind of getting by at a higher level, far higher than you actually think mentally you are.
You know? Right.
So lastly, Laura, if you didn't like the success question, you may not like that. You might like this even less. What does it mean to you to be your own hero?
To be my own hero. Well, that's very related, isn't it? To be my own hero now.
Yes.
Is to go to bed every night knowing that I've done something that possibly helped someone else, made someone else feel good, improve the world around me. That's how I'm going to be a hero.
Fabulous. That was my last question. Laura, if the audience or the listeners want to get in touch with you, is there a way they can do that, they can follow you?
Yes, absolutely. So my website for Soul Dance, and if there are any women out there who want to start up a Dancing in the Dark group, we're also open to that, which is fantastic.
So where are you at right now? Sorry, what cities? You're in New Zealand and you're in Birmingham, Alabama.
We're in
two more.
We're in Auckland, we're in New Zealand, we're probably going to go into Dallas really soon. We're talking to some other ones, but it, we'll have an update on the site. So it's souldancex.com. Okay.
Right.
And then we also have Facebook and Instagram, souldancex.
Excellent. And I'll be sure to put the links everywhere so people sure. have access to you. As I said, that was definitely my last question, Laura. Thank you so much for being my guest today. Phenomenal woman. Thank you.
That was really fun. Thank you.
So I hope you enjoyed that interview with Laura Interval Gaines. It's a really different insight to see somebody who does such unusual roles, had such great pivots in their careers from actress through to toy designer and now dance studio. So, and as I said, I really enjoyed what she said because we're talking about having the inhibitions, about being you, living an authentic life and really only making choices that really suit you. Far too many times in life, we as women put ourselves back down the line. We don't come first. We put the needs before others, before our own. But to be honest, if we don't sustain our own selves and look after ourselves, if we go down, everything else goes down. So I think it's really poignant just taking some time out and taking decisions that mean something for you, that are worthwhile for you, that aid you, that you know, that you don't feel forced you're doing it for somebody else. So I really hope you enjoyed that interview with Laura Gaines. So thank you again for joining me on this week's edition of Phenomenal Woman. You guys are what makes it worthwhile doing this each week. And if you could head over to iTunes and rate, review, comment, I'd be really appreciative. Your comments are what makes the algorithm on iTunes work, which means I get noticed more in the rankings. So the more comments, the more feedback you give, the further up I get, and the more women get to hear what we're discussing each week. Also, if you've liked what you've heard, and I know each week we talk about the different strategies that these women use and how they have various challenges with navigating their success journeys. Well, I've pulled together a free ebook, The 13 Strategies to Elevate Your Career, which really give you practical and actionable tips, real life tips that you could actually use to elevate your career. And it's free, which is even better. All you need to do is head over to my website, janicesutherland.com, complete the short form, and the ebook is yours. So it's really 13 practical strategies you could use straight away to elevate your career at work and also into leadership. The other thing is to tell you that I usually do regular Facebook lives each week about different subjects pertaining to women's careers and elevating their success. And you can hear that each week on my Facebook page, I Am Janice Sutherland. So head over to there and just join the group, just join the page, like the page, so you can hear the actual tips. It's really interactive. It's an opportunity for you to pitch questions to me in real time and also just connect with me in general. I'm also on Instagram. If you want to follow me there, I am Janice Sutherland also. Let's keep it simple. So until next week, I thank you again for joining me and supporting the Phenomenal Woman podcast. Be bold, be fearless, be phenomenal, and be you.